Hello and welcome to Gin and Spooks.
Welcome to Gin and Spooks.
Definitely feel like this is going to be one of those podcasts where we're having a fantastic time and the rest of the world's like, oh, what the hell?
Oh, fuck it. If we can't get on our level, we can't get on our level.
Do you believe in aliens? Like, fully?
Yes, but I think most of the evidence that we've got is quite a lot of it's nonsense. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the best way of putting it is I definitely believe we're not alone in the universe. So I definitely believe in the existence of aliens. Whether they visited us or made contact with us, I'm really not sure. But I definitely know we're not alone. We can't be.
I don't believe that we're the only planet with life on it. No. I mean, that's bullshit.
Exactly.
I think it was probably a few years back, I can't remember how long ago, but they did discover another solar system similar to ours.
Yeah.
And they had an Earth-like planet on that. I think,
exactly.
I think NASA discovered it. So you never know, but because the time, so obviously when you go into space, time is relative, as Albert Einstein quoted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, you don't know at what stage, say if there was life on that planet, you don't know what stage they've evolved. They could be in the dinosaur phase.
Or the bacteria phase, before. Not the bacteria phase, but when we were all fish and monkeys and stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know personally what stage they're at. So there's probably a reason why they haven't communicated with us. I mean, it could be humans like us.
Exactly. I definitely believe in something like that, but
I to think there's something out there, but obviously it's gonna be quite scary if there was actually proof that we were alone and there was no one else out there to help us with the or the global warming and stuff is going to be a bigger issue. Right, I'm going to bore you with my facts.
I can't wait.
They're not facts, they're just let's go with facts, fuck it. So I do have a few abductions, but I've looked more into the actual scientific department.
Yeah.
I was watching a documentary the other day, and it's only on YouTube, but it was basically how they sent messages to space in the hopes of someone would respond.
Yeah.
So there's an organization called SETI, so it's Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and they basically discovered, it all started when they someone discovered a signal that was coming from the constellation Sagittarius back in 1977. That's 40 odd years.
No, it is, isn't it? 43 years ago.
Oh, God. So it was back then. It was a strong, narrowband radio signal that was received. A signal came from the direction of the constellation Sagittarius and bore the expected hallmarks of extraterrestrial origin. The entire signal lasted for 72 seconds. And they caught, the person that obviously that was working at the time and received the signal had just and there's a little picture on lovely Wikipedia where he had marked it as wow, so they called it as the wow signal because that's all he had left on there. But
that's quite a cute little name.
So that all the organization started with that because obviously they received some kind of signal and then started developing how they could send a message back. Whether it was actual, someone communicating with us, was it accidental? So that's how they started. Nikola Tesla was involved at some point. Well, this was back in 1896, so this is going way back. Tesla suggested that an extreme version of the wireless electrical transmission system that obviously they created could be used to contact beings on Mars. How cool is that?
Yeah.
I did write those in notes, but they don't make any sense, so it's great. You also have SETI used most of the technology and the the information that they collated from other people. So there was a person called I can't remember his first name, so you can basically just type it in on Google, it'll come up almost straight away, but it's the Drake equation. So they have an actual equation, and I'll read it out to you and then I'll explain. It's a lot on how they basically detect civilizations in outer space.
Yeah.
So N equals R star plus FP plus FNE plus FL plus FI plus FC plus L.
It sounds similar to how you work out trade effluent charges for money.
I thought that when I was writing it down because I was like,
is this the Boston formula?
So N is equals the number of civilizations in our galaxy with which communication might be possible. The R star is the average rate of of star formation in our galaxy. FP is the fraction of those stars that have planets. NE is the average number of planets that can potentially support life per star that has planets.
I don't understand how they know these things, though.
I think they all just, like, got it from Albert Einstein before he passed.
Yeah, must have done. Because wasn't the first... sorry to interrupt you, but wasn't that first one is, like, how many might have been something?
Yeah, so this one, it says, like, it says on the website, it might be possible. FL is the fraction of planets that could support life and could actually develop life at some point.
Mm.
FI is the fraction of planets with life that actually could go on to develop intelligent life. Mm. So this will probably be like, you know, non-bacteria.
Yeah.
FC is a fraction of civilizations that develop a technology that releases detectable signs of their existence into space. L equals the length of time for which such civilizations release detectable signals into space. But that's the Drake equation.
That sounds like such a cool concept and stuff, but I feel like so many of those little aspects and it was like, had the word might in or could be in, like, they're just making shit up.
Yeah, so when I was like watching the documentary, which is, the documentary, my original notes did say, so like, it was all based on like hypothesis basically, but the original person, the Drake guy, who obviously created the equation, had put his own numbers in and then worked out it would have been 100,000 potentials that, like, so if you think of like our universe now,
keep thinking bigger,
because like we don't actually know the size of our universe
because we can't see that far, can we, really?
Yeah, I mean, it baffles me that we're able to get pictures of the Milky Way.
Yeah.
So, because, like, do we actually know that's what our, like, solar system or galaxy looks like, or...
Yeah.
Or is that just because we've either made it up, or...
Science, bitch.
You never know, like, it could... Because all of this, like, research that, like, I was doing anyway was, like, starting back in, like, the 1940s, like, onwards.
Yeah.
So it's like, we didn't even have half of the technology we do now, so how would you have been able to find out what the Milky Way looks like for a start?
It does seem absolutely mental that some of this research is that long ago when
they didn't have colour TV.
Yeah, definitely.
But before they did SETI, they had like, you know, projects that the government had created, you know, to research basically extraterrestrial being, and then obviously around that time people were saying that they were getting abducted, they were experiencing things that couldn't be explained.
Ghosts.
Ooh, a ghost. So all that kind of stuff. So they started creating these projects. One of them is actually based, well, a TV series is based on it called Project Blue Book.
Yeah.
It started in 1952 and its project follow its predecessors, Project Sign, which was in 1947, and Project Grudge.
Yeah.
I don't know why I always called that.
I mean, those are names of horror films, technically, aren't they? Signs and The Grudge.
Carry on. Oh, my God, yeah. So, you know when something, like, when you say something and something clicks in your head, you're like...
Yeah. For some reason, that's really scared me, and I'm not sure why.
Oh, no, I'm just a bit creeped out now.
No, carry on. Project Sign, Project Grudge.
So Project Blue Book had two goals. It was to determine if UFOs are a national threat, Because obviously, you know, big boys have got to look after themselves.
Yeah.
And then to scientifically analyse UFO-related data. By the time it had ended, it had collected 12,618 UFO reports.
Whoa.
Most of them were like misidentifications, so they could have been clouds, stars, aircraft. A small percentage of UFO reports were classified as unexplained even after analysis.
Yeah.
So even after like they did all their research, they still weren't able to explain what actually went on. And I mean, it could be just like, you know, one of those natural, unnatural phenomenons that just happen.
That seems like still a lot to be unaccounted for and unexplained.
Yeah. But then like, I think it just depends on like how people explain it though, because they could just explain it in a way that's like so out of this world. You're just like, what?
Yeah.
Have you taken drugs?
Yeah. Yeah. It was the 70s. Was it the 70s? So probably a lot.
Yeah. No, this one was in the 50s, so but even if they still would have, drugs were a big thing back then, weren't they? So everyone was probably off the rocker. Yeah. And then I don't actually know how to say this, so I'm just going to pronounce it. I'm reading it. So there was Arecibo message, which SETI actually sent off into space. So it was sent in 1974, interstellar radio message, carrying basic information about humanity and Earth, sent to the globular star cluster M13. It was meant to be a demonstration of human technology achievement rather than a real attempt to enter into a conversation with extraterrestrials. The message was arrived at a current location of M13 about 25,000 light years away. Because M13 was a large and close collection of stars that was available in the sky at the time and place of the ceremony. The message forms the image shown, which obviously you can see on the Wikipedia, when translated into graphics, characters and spaces. We've already sent like multiple messages out into outer space because, again, the documentary that I was watching, they sent that one that I've just mentioned. They sent another one where it was like, you know, them like really old... like really old like anatomy drawings that you find in science books and stuff.
Yeah.
So one of that of like a male and female, and then behind them was like a diagram of our solar system.
Yeah.
Like really simple stuff, but they sent it off out into space in the hope someone would respond, which I thought was just like, just don't play with it, man. Don't play with fire.
No.
Just leave it alone.
Let them come to us, if anything.
Yeah, and then there was another message that is sent where they had 55 different languages on there, and they're like, you know, saying hello and all this bullshit.
I don't know why but that's really made me laugh, like as if the aliens can speak Chinese rather than English.
They did as well, like they sent like most of the European languages they sent over.
I mean, fair play for trying, because you never know, but if the alien doesn't speak English, then I doubt they're going to speak like French. Or German.
I mean, yeah. Like, but stranger things happen, so who knows, we could have a French alien.
Worth a try.
But, yeah, they sent, like, loads of messages out into space, and I was just like, why would you even bother with that? Like, you're just tempting with fate.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they're going to be evolved and they're going to instantly want to attack us, but why are you giving them information about our planet? Like,
yeah.
Are you stupid?
Yeah.
Along with that, they sent like music, and then they were in the talks of someone wanted to send a message where they provided basically the internet.
For fuck's sake. I don't know why they're joking us so much.
So they could access basically like everything. And I was just like, why the fuck would you do that?
Yeah, what the hell? Also, what music?
Some grenades.
Yeah. What music did they send?
I'm trying to think, because this was in the 70s at this point, so what music would have been around then?
The Beatles?
Probably the Beatles, because of how popular they were. It'd probably be like all the popular bands.
Mozart. That's funny. I don't know why I find it so funny, all this shit that they sent out into space in the hope of attracting someone's attention. It's not funny, it's a good idea. Well, it's a bad idea, but it's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, I've got one word for you. American.
Yeah.
I'm not hating on them, but like,
yes. And didn't you say earlier that they sent something out that was kind of, it wasn't really a message, it was just showing, like a showing off about all the technology Earth has or something like that?
Yeah, so if like, it looks like, you know, a really old version of Pac-Man. That's the only way I could describe it. A lot of lines, a lot of dots, and I don't really make any sense of it, but they sent it over, and I'm like, look, if I can't understand it, who is like an actual human being on your planet, how the fuck do you think an alien is going to understand this?
No.
They're not going to just download it as DLC and just be like, oh, this is a good game.
I wonder if there's a sequel.
I really doubt it. But, I mean, I, you know, given points for, like, trying, but at the same time, it's just, you're stupid.
Yeah. Have they not seen all these films?
No, obviously not.
Right. Are you ready? Have you heard about Travis Walton and your travels? Have you not?
His name doesn't ring a bell.
Okay. Travis Walton was an American forestry worker from the town of Snowflake, Arizona. What a cute name for a town, Snowflake. Snowflake was originally built by Mormons and was the kind of town where everyone knew everyone. On the 5th of November, 1975, at the age of 22, Travis was working in the Apache Sitgreaves National Forest, not far from Snowflake. So Travis was working as part of a timber stand improvement crew with six other men. So essentially what they were doing was they were cutting down like the overgrowth and undergrowth in the forest to help the trees that are already there to grow and to prevent like forest fires and stuff. They were running a bit behind on their scheduled contract. So when they finally packed up for the day, it was starting to get dark. They climbed into the crew leader Mike's truck and started back through the forest towards town. After they had been driving for a few minutes, still in the forest, they saw a mysterious bright light, yellowish in colour, coming through the trees. The brightness and angle of the light ruled out any rational explanation. So it couldn't have been, it wasn't headlights or a campfire or the moon. It was just like the wrong angles, the wrong brightness, everything. So they drove towards it to look for the source. They broke through into a clearing and saw a saucer-shaped object hovering above the ground about 110 feet away. Travis suddenly opened the door to the truck, and despite pleas from his colleagues not to, he ran directly towards the object. High beeps of alternating pitches started emanating from the craft, so loud and strange that Mike said he could feel it vibrating through the steering wheel of the truck. It suddenly started getting louder and more intense, and a beam of light appeared from the craft, shining directly onto Travis. It lifted him up in the air with his arms spread out behind him, like in the typical, like, if you're in a beam of light pose, like... Yeah, so the beam of light appeared from the craft, shined directly onto Travis, lifted him up in the air with his arms spread out behind him, and then threw him back 20 feet and knocking him unconscious. Travis was not aware of this beam of light. He says he was literally about to turn and head back to the truck when all of a sudden he blacked out. After seeing Travis flung through the air, the rest of the crew, still in the truck, were absolutely shitting themselves. Mike immediately put the truck into gear and drove off back towards the town, putting as many miles between them and the site as he could. John, one of the crew, says they were all panicking and debating, unsure whether to go back to see if he was okay or to go and get help. As one of Travis's best friends, Mike eventually made the decision to go back, whether the others joined him or not. He says he was genuinely surprised when the whole of the rest of the crew got back into the truck to go with him to look for Travis. Once they arrived back at the clearing, Travis was gone. After hours of searching and feeling really guilty about having left their friend behind, only for him to disappear, they called the police. As the men were all overly emotional, and because it was such a bizarre story, the police initially thought they had been drinking or were high and told them all they would be in a lot of trouble if they were wasting police time. After the men insisted it wasn't a hoax, the police agreed to help search for Travis. At the time, the police suspected that the crew had killed him and it was all just an elaborate cover-up. Another theory was that they were making the whole thing up just to get out of fulfilling their logging contract. So during the police search, the men of the crew were all split up and each paired with a different officer in the hope that one of them would crack and admit the truth. John says he was constantly asked, "Why don't you just tell me where the body is so we can all go home and get this over with?" Steve, who was only 17 at the time and had probably lied about his age to get the job, was absolutely convinced that they would go down for murder whether they found the body or not. Eventually, sniffer dogs were brought out to help with the search. The dogs went straight to the spot where the men had seen the craft and Travis had disappeared, but the dogs could not follow the scent any further. But neither Travis, his body, nor any further evidence could be found. So all of Travis's crew were treated as if they had been arrested under the suspicion of murder. They were all subjected to polygraph or lie detector tests, asking them the same questions over and over, like, did you murder Travis Walton? Did you see a flying saucer? Did you see the object hit him with a beam of light? But they all passed the test. So they all told the same exact story, and all six of them passed the lie detector test. So the county sheriff at the time told the reporters, I'm not a total disbeliever in the men's story. So even like the fucking sheriff was like, no, I think there's something here. All of a sudden, 5 days later, Travis turned up. So he was found 5 days later in a phone booth at a petrol station. He had about 5 days worth of stubble growth on his face and was 12 pounds lighter. He says he remembers wandering along a highway with the craft flying off behind him. When he came across the petrol station, he called his brother to ask for help. And when his brother came to get Travis, he found him in the phone box. Travis scuttled away from him as if he didn't trust him. So his brother picked him up and held him close to him like a baby, and Travis broke down crying. Travis did not know he'd been missing for 5 days. Travis's memory of these 5 days is patchy. He says he woke up in a lot of pain, initially believing he was in hospital. As he looked around and became more conscious, he realised he was surrounded by beings, but these beings weren't human. He describes them as short, bold creatures. They almost looked human, but had underdeveloped features, pale white skin, and were completely hairless. Once he realised he was not in a hospital, he panicked and lashed out. He grabbed something to use as a weapon to defend himself, but the beings didn't come any closer to him. So he jumped up and ran out of the room and down a dimly lit corridor. He says he was able to see out of the craft, but he could not see any planets or moons or the sun, just stars. He found a room with a chair in the middle of it, surrounded by what looked like a control panel. And then what Travis believes was a human, wearing a helmet, entered the room, took Travis down a hallway and into another room. In this room, there were more beings that Travis believed to be human. However, none of them would talk to him or answer any of his questions. They put what he thought was an oxygen mask on him, and he went back to sleep. And then that's when he woke up on the side of the road. So to work out what happened in the 5 days, Travis can't remember. He's been through a multitude of treatments, such as hypnotherapy. However, nothing has found any hidden memories of his time on the craft, suggesting that maybe he was fully unconscious for the majority of it. Looking back, he does not believe that their intent was to cause him harm. In fact, he believes that these aliens saved his life. So Travis's theory is that he went over towards the craft, they went to fly off, accidentally killed him, and were like, oh shit, picked him up, fixed him, brought him back to life, and then dropped him back off near where they'd found him. And 45 years later, all six of the men still are adamant of their story. They all stick to it. None of them have come out and said they were lying, despite pressure from the media. One guy even had someone offer him $10,000 to tell the truth, and he was like, he was quite poor at the time, but even then he was like, but I am already telling the truth, that kind of thing. So the chances of six men passing the polygraph test and 45 years later all still sticking to the same story is a bit strange. Then in 2014, scientists visited the clearing where the craft was seen and the abduction happened to see if there was any physical evidence of like potential aliens. So the trees in this area are growing 35 times faster than they had been in the 85 years prior to the abduction. And they did like a cross section of the trees. You know how when you chop a tree down, they've all got rings in?
Yeah, yeah.
The rings on the side of the clearing where the craft was are thicker, so the trees aren't round anymore. They're kind of a weird shape because the rings on one side are thicker, all pointing in towards where the craft was in this clearing. The only other time this effect has been seen is in Chernobyl with the intense levels of radiation.
Holy shit, no way.
Yeah, so the chances of having that high radiation out in the middle of a forest, you just wouldn't, would you, unless there was like a nuclear power plant explosion there. But that's the kind of thing they've seen. So that's Travis Walton's story, but loads of people think it's a hoax because it was in the 1970s and alien films had started coming out at that time, and so it was all over the media, and so people thought they were they'd all made the story up just to get a quick buck. And there were no witnesses to Travis actually being sucked into the craft because all the men had driven away at that point. So the theory is that Travis just ran away and hid for 5 days. But like, yeah, but I don't think he could have done that because the town all knew who he was. So you couldn't hide for 5 days and then appear in a random phone booth.
Not unless it was like premeditated, so we like planned it, like, you know, the out, like day by day.
Yeah. What makes me not believe it is the fact that his descriptions of the aliens sound like all the portrayals of aliens in the media and stuff, if you see what I mean. Essentially, he describes aliens that are known as greys, like the...
They're like a big...
Big
like a big thing.
Yeah.
In like, I don't know, the alien community and stuff like that, like... Because I've got some notes about them where, like, most abductions are, like, based around these grey-looking beings. Well, they're human-like, but they're not actually human.
Yeah, exactly, and that's exactly what he described. But then I'm kind of like, I kind of think it happened because I'm a person that likes the science behind shit. So the fact that those trees in that clearing are growing so much quicker than other trees in the area, and the fact that they're all warped towards where the craft was, similar to how the trees are at fucking Chernobyl, that, to me, that's really weird.
I mean, it is, like, especially if they're comparing it to Chernobyl.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, it's just really odd. Like, yeah. I was like, no.
Yeah.
Don't bring in science to this.
Science, bitch. So, yeah, the bit that makes me not believe him is the whole bit about how he says he found a chair with like a control panel around it, like you would see in a film, and the fact that he could just see stars and the way he describes them, like how anyone's seen the media, that makes me not believe him. But then something strange clearly happened for the trees to be fucked up.
I mean, unless he had like, I don't know, like a psychotic break and then imagine like it was aliens, and obviously because, you know, around that time they had loads of films coming out, like I don't know if you've ever seen it, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
No, I've it's never like a really seen it, but...
Yeah, like, I remember, like, walking in, like, my dad was watching it, and I was like, oh, I'll just join him for a bit. It traumatised me as a kid. I was like, no.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, those films like that were coming out, so obviously everyone's just a bit influential on that.
So I watched a documentary about it. It's called The True Story of Travis Walton, or something like that, on Netflix. Yeah. Not Netflix, Prime. And that you actually see interviews with Travis and a lot of the men that were in the crew. And I'm not going to lie, they don't seem like the cleverest of men. They seem also like very manly men that don't believe in crying and stuff like that. So for them all to stick to this story for 45 years and be able to pass a polygraph test, to me, that's obviously what they believed happened. Whether it was actually aliens or if it was like some weird government shit, I don't know, but...
Yeah, because there's, like, loads of, like, conspiracy theories saying, oh, like, the government have got, like, this technology where they, like, mind-control people and, like, all that bullshit, and you're just like, yeah, but there's, like, a certain, stereotype of the people that are claiming this, and it's all, like, you know, hillbillies and rednecks.
Yeah, so have you noticed that if you say that you believe in ghosts, people will be like, oh, really, how come, what happened to you? They'll be really interested. But if you say that you believe in aliens and you had an alien experience, everyone's like, okay, you absolute mentalist.
Like, you crazy bitch.
Yeah
because I've mentioned like to a few people, or like if they ask the question, or do you believe in ghosts and stuff, I go, yeah, and like, I fully believe in that. And they're like, okay, like, do you have any experiences? So you tell them, it's like, okay, well, I've never turned around and gone, but I believe in aliens too, because like, you should believe in aliens because there's a very high chance that they're all out there, and they just might not be as like, you know, evolved as we are. That's probably why I don't think they visited yet.
No, I definitely believe there's other life out there somewhere. But I either believe they haven't visited yet, or they've taken one look at us and gone, nope, and then fucked off. Or,
I mean, I don't blame us.
No, that's danger. Stranger danger. Or they just haven't got the technology to communicate with them properly.
I think, like, on our side, we probably have got actually the technology, but I don't think they have. I think whatever's happened on our end has been accidental. It's not been...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously you've got these films coming out, like, and assuming that, like, aliens are going to, like, take over the world and, you know, like, basically cause massive genocide. And it's like, dude, no.
Like District 9. Is it District 9?
I love District 9.
It's fucking prawn. Fucking prawn.
Most people hate it.
I enjoyed it. Well, I enjoyed it at the time, from what I can remember anyway. I haven't watched it in a while. But
yeah.
Have you watched Chappie? It's like similar style. I think it's by the same director, but they build like a robot, like a self-aware robot, basically. Yeah. It's actually really emotional. I think it's on Netflix. I don't know. I like that kind of stuff anyway. I enjoy sci-fi, so.
I enjoy sci-fi, but sometimes with alien films, I'm a bit like, meh, because they're all not similar, but...
But they're all painted to be like, we're going to take over your world, and then we're going to, like, make you into slaves and stuff. I'm like, you know, right, for a start, we don't even know if they exist. And if they do exist, I'm pretty sure they're not going to do that.
And then,
I mean, even if they do, like, I think we'll just get wiped out, depending on the technology.
Yeah, probably. They'll probably, in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the aliens literally destroy Earth because we're in their way. I feel like that's more likely to happen than...
I love that film. And the book's really good as well.
Yes. I don't think I've ever actually seen the film, but I've read the book. And I've read The Restaurant at the End of the Universe as well.
Yeah, because they're like, I didn't realise until the other day, because I was speaking to someone about it, but it's like a series of books.
Mm.
But I only read the first book. So I'm going to have to go back now and read all the books, because...
I've only read the first two, and the second one is just as insane as the first one, but I fucking loved it. Because sometimes you're reading it and you're like, this is absolute nonsense.
Yeah. What's the robot's name? But he's like really sad.
Oh, I know. I can't remember his name, but I know who you mean.
But have you watched the film?
I feel like I've seen bits of it, but I don't think I've seen it all the way through. Because he's big and white, isn't he? He's got a big white round head.
Yeah. But the person that does his voice is Alan Rickman.
Who is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
and he does it absolutely amazing. And the main guy is Martin Freeman. Yeah.
My little hedgehog.
Honestly, it's really good.
I'll need to watch it properly then. But you need to read the books.
I do, yes. I need to finish a lot of books, to be honest, because I'm still, like, halfway through The Silmarillion, and I'm like, I was, like, searching up, like, you know, famous abductions and stuff, but surprisingly, yours didn't come up.
I'm really surprised, because Travis Walton seems to come up in everything I do, whether I'm searching for aliens or not, he's there.
Yeah, he might have come up if I did, like, more, read it a bit more, like, the sites that I was on, but, yeah, at the beginning, his name was never mentioned, so that's something. But these ones were like, this one person was called Terrell Copeland.
Mm.
He described like seeing an orb of light that obviously, you know, was a bit strange because it wasn't like your usual standard light that, you know, like a headlamp or anything like that. And you know how they've got the little things that you put your eye to and you can see outside?
Peephole, yeah. Glory hole, yeah.
One of those, yeah. So he like looked through it, and he said that a strange visitor came to his door, and that's how he described it. Strange visitor. I'm like, define strange.
Yeah.
And then he was ex-army, so he had like a gun. Mm-hmm. And then apparently this visitor turned around through the door and said, "You don't need that weapon. We won't harm." He kept a log of missing time episodes and was abducted in 2006. And he said he saw a woman with non-complete human features, typical black eyes, elongated skull. And then obviously he must have been what he claims he was abducted.
Mm.
And then in his next memory, after he lost some time, is standing on my balcony waving at this cylinder-shaped ship.
Oh.
And I was like... I mean, this is giving me goosebumps now, but at the time I was like, this kid is off his fucking rocker.
Yeah. See, if he was ex-army, he probably had, like, post-traumatic stress disorder and all sorts.
Yeah. I mean, he could have done, and then, like, they're not very, like, at that time they weren't, you know, identifying it quickly enough.
No.
He probably would have been suffering with it a lot, and it could have been that, but it's a bit weird, like, you know, it's just going to be chill.
Yeah, still. No, it's giving me goosebumps and stuff, but then there's that rational part of my brain that's like, he's got bipolar disorder or something. No,
but that's what you do, though. Like, you like, rationalise it first, and then you're just like, but what if it was actually that, but because you didn't experience it, you don't know, do you?
No, exactly.
And there was a couple. Was it a couple? It was two sisters. So they were twins. And they apparently started experiencing it when they were 5 years old.
Freaky.
really fucking weird. And as soon as kids are involved, I'm like, no, no swiping.
And twins, identical twins, no, thank you, that can fuck right off.
So they would describe it as a bright blue light coming into the room, and the door would open, and there would be a foggy, misty blue light just shining through the whole house. And then when they described, like, the actual aliens, they always said there would be a tall one, they had a black cape, but they were bald and had big eyes.
So, yeah, the baldness, that's something that Travis Walton mentions in his account.
Yeah, so, like, most of the stories, they all describe them as, like, human-like, but not fully developed, bald, one really tall, one really short.
Yeah.
And they're
really pale. Yeah. Yeah.
There's this one other person as well called Stacey Tussle. She has a blog that you can actually just, like, look up.
Oh, cool.
But basically, I didn't, like, read any others, but she started getting marks on the body, like, that she couldn't explain.
I think I've heard stories about stuff like this. Yeah, carry on.
So she actually started a blog about it, and it will come up as, like, one of the searches if you put a name in. She'll go into, like, you know, the actual scientific background about it and everything, but she also, like, records her experiences, basically. And she said that, like, when it first started happening, she would have, like, marks on the body and scratches and stuff that, like, no one else or her could put on there.
Yeah.
Put on her body.
Yeah. Ooh.
And, yeah, like, people basically thought, like, it was just probably her scratching herself in her sleep and stuff.
Yeah.
I've done that before. I've woken up and I've, like, scratched myself and stuff. But, yeah, that was the only one that I actually read that had the marks on the body. And she described the aliens quite similar, but, like, the greys that they call them.
Yeah. So I can't remember where I heard the story. I'm not a podcast, let's be honest. But there's a few stories from people saying that they'd wake up in the middle of the night. Well, they'd go to bed feeling really funny anyway, like, just feeling off and not sure why. And they said they wake up in the middle of the night and see these creatures. And the way they describe them is, like, the greys, but really tall and stuff. And then I think they then kind of wake up in the morning and they'd have a mark on their leg that looked as if someone had done a deep cut, and then, I can't pronounce it, is it cauterized, where you use heat?
Yeah.
So as if it's been a deep mark, deep cut, and then the wound had been cauterized overnight. And then one woman actually went to the doctors about it, and they opened it back up and pulled out a random piece of metal of some sort that they had no explanation. So she'd gone to bed with nothing on her legs, woken up with this cauterized scar on her leg, and then a piece of metal had been pulled out of it, like. But, and she'd had the vision of these, like, grey type creatures.
Oh, fuck off. If I woke up and, like, saw them, I'd just be like, look, I'm not in the mood. Piss off.
Yeah.
Just, like, I'm not.
Leave me the fuck alone.
I get my dildo and just throw it at them.
I could just imagine it wobbling in the air, is it?
it's quite big as well, so, like, it'll knock someone out.
Has it got a sucker on the end and it just stick to the head?
No, but everyone's like, you should get one of those because, you know, you need it. And I'm like, I don't need it. Thank you. I'm perfectly capable with this one. But I'd go and grab it. I'd be like, I'm not in the mood. Piss off.
Yeah. I'm going to try and find this podcast episode so that you can listen to it.
Yeah, please, because I won't listen to it now because I'm kind of creeped out.
No, it's giving me the chills.
Oh, could you imagine just, like, going to bed, you're not feeling okay, and then you wake up in the middle of the night and you think you see something, but, you know, when you're not sure and you just go back to sleep, which I've experienced far too many times in my life, and then I wake up,
like an almost healed scar on your leg that wasn't there before. Yeah, no, I'm sure I know which podcast it's from.
It's fine.
What freaks me out, but also doesn't freak me out, is the fact that everyone's description of aliens is kind of the same, isn't it? These greys.
Yeah, like, they're like, one's really tall, one's really short, or both are really tall. Like,
that it freaks me out that everyone describes them the same, because I feel like that makes it seem more real if all these hundreds of thousands of people that have never met each other are describing the same thing. But then at the same time, that's the kind of alien that's portrayed in the media. So
yeah,
it kind of, I don't know, it freaks me out. And then my brain's like, no, they just kind of got this because it's everywhere.
Yeah, because if you like watch the films and stuff that obviously that was released around that time, like the time that alien abductions were like becoming like a you know, a popular thing, like all the aliens look like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then obviously it must be like a collective like psychosis or something.
Yeah.
You know, something along the lines of that, because obviously everyone's just gone, yeah, okay, like aliens are real. And then obviously back in them days, if you released a film like that, people are going to get scared. Whereas now, if you release one now, you just not really asked.
Yeah.
I think it just, like back then, it was just like a more scarier thing because obviously the technology and stuff was quite early on and, you know, people weren't as like on it, basically.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I do think there's something out there, but like, I don't know. I definitely don't think they visited us just yet. Like, you know, with the crop circles and stuff, I think that's just people doing shit at night.
Yeah. Dicking about.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of effort to go to, though, in the middle of the night, let's be honest.
Yeah, but if you were, say if you were, had a little bit of a fight, like a feud going on with your next door neighbour who was also a farmer, like, yeah. I could totally picture them doing something petty, like going out in the middle of the night and just cutting a circle in their crops, like, ha ha ha, fuck you, on their little, like, tractor.
Oh my God.
And then going home.
Get me on my combine harvester.
I mean, I know it's probably not that because crop circles are kind of like mathematically like proper circles and stuff, aren't they? Which would be very hard to do in the middle of the night on your little fucking combine harvester. But I'm just still, I wouldn't put it past them. That's the petty shit I would do if someone was really pissing me off.
Remind me to never own a farm next to you or something. I don't know though, because like machinery, they can do perfect circles, can't they? Well, most machinery can.
Yeah, maybe not.
So, makes sense that like people are doing, you know, like hoaxes and stuff like that because, you know, it's a big thing in the media and then yeah. They're just going, oh my God, look at this. Someone's trying to communicate with us. It's like us like using Play-Doh.
Yeah. No, that's, can you imagine?
This is us.
There's like, oh my God, this has happened in my field. It's definitely something extraterrestrial. And then Farmer Jim's just sat at home like, what a fucking muppet.
What a fucking muppet. I'm so going to do that, right? I'm going to buy a farm next door to someone. And when they undoubtedly piss me off, I'm just going to get a combine armstead like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah. I also feel like the American government and CIA and Air Force and stuff, I feel like it's just them testing, a lot of the time, it's them testing secret stuff and just completely fucking it up. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if they were the cause of some of the crop circles, because they're flying somewhere and they needed to land quickly and it's cut a circle in the farmer's field and then they've just fucked off again before anyone's noticed. Like,
I mean, that's probably why they've got Area 51 anyway, because, like,
yeah.
We were talking about it the other day, weren't we? Like, obviously, like, if you go on there, it's like, you know, shoot on sight.
Yeah.
So, because obviously whatever they're doing now is like, no one knows.
Yeah.
And apparently people that have like left the organisation and stuff like that, they've somehow died.
Yeah. Oh, I bet as well, there's people that have left the CIA but they've left it like on bad terms. And then they've gone, yeah, it's fucking aliens, and then stirred all this shit up that's not true. Like,
probably, yeah, but then I think, like, most people that, you know, work for those kind of, like, places, I don't think they actually last long. They just get murdered, don't they? Because they obviously, the information that they know.
Yeah.
Unless you're really good at hiding.
Yeah.
Like Anne Frank. I mean, when she got discovered in the end, didn't she?
Oh, Lan.
Yeah. Little Annie. Annie, are you okay?
Are you okay, Annie? No, actually.
Annie, get your oatcakes,
Annie. There's a place in Fenton called Annie's Oatcake.
Oh my God. Wow. Little Annie. Yeah, this just took a dark turn and that's all because of me. So yeah, because I'm not drunk, but you know, like I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I've had some wine. Well, I've had 3/4 of wine. Bottle of wine.
I think we're at a good stage though, because you don't want to be too pissed that you can't actually talk about anything.
Yeah, I mean, I can't talk in general anymore because apparently I've just lost that ability.
I can't read anymore. I was trying to read that story.
Okay, so today's lesson is, if an alien comes into your room, throw a dildo at it. Thank you very much for listening. Please head to our Instagram, which is at Gin and Spooks, for the photo dump for everything we've talked about in this episode. If you don't have Instagram, we also have a blog, which is ginandspooks.wordpress.com. We also put the photos on there, as well as our references and any other little tidbits of info.
And if you've got any drink suggestions or even ghost stories of your own, please email them to us at ginandspooks@gmail.com.